I'm gonna put you on before me and see how that.
I can see myself. I can see something. Yeah, I can see myself.
You can see yourself? You're famous. And we're back to me. All right, cool, dude. So yeah, no, we're live on YouTube and Facebook.
Oh man, I feel super famous now.
You are, yes.
10 years ago, you'd have to pay a lot of money to make this happen.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy that you can do this right now. We had this whole setup for like, I think the setup, not including like the consulting for actually coming and hooking it up, was like under 10 grand for the whole thing. Crazy. For the whole thing. Two cameras, all these lights. It's awesome.
Wow. Yeah, I love this background you got, man.
Thanks, dude. Like, yeah.
Pretty cool.
Thank you. Yeah. I had a few people thought it was legit. I was like, come on, guys. Like, the floor.
Well,
like...
I'm really, actually, this is the last time I'll be doing any type of interview, or like, I don't really know. I can't really call this an interview. This is just hanging out. But anyways, this will be the last time because
I'm moving tomorrow
down the road to a much nicer place. And so anyways, I'll have a real office. Cause like, this is like not really an office in my opinion. It'll be like the first time in 5 years where I actually have a real office. And I'm pretty excited for that.
Dude. So you're never going to do an interview again, or the last interview you're doing there?
Is that no, this is the last interview. This is the last interview in this place.
Got you. Okay, cool. Yeah. So this is big time is what you're telling me.
Yeah, exactly, right? This is the exclusive, you know?
This is the exclusive thing. That's how I'm going to share it, so. sweet, dude. Let's see how that works. Hey, if you guys can hear Scott, please comment below real quick. I'm just testing everything out. We got the little countdown running.
Man, this looks so pro, dude. Like, I gotta
thanks, man.
This looks so professional. Like, I'm so
I like it. Dude, so, I'll like, connect you with David
totally
Foster.
Like what's on the screen right now? Or is it just
I am actually. I'm controlling. So like if I want to go to you, we're back to Scott. And there's like a crazy delay with Facebook Live and if
yeah,
I
want to yeah, do the three badass, things.
So. It's pretty sweet. Yeah, it's pretty legit. And we had my graphic designer made that little emoji of me and like threw it up. I like it. It's pretty cool.
That's
yeah, David Foster set it up for me. I don't know if you know him, but I can always connect you to him. He's like this, their company, him and Luria Petrucci's company is live streaming pros. And this is all they do all day.
This
and,
is cool, dude.
It's cool. Yeah, it's awesome.
Super cool.
Thanks.
I gotta go ahead and share this in.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and share it too. I gotta grab one thing really quick. I'll be right back. I'll leave you guys with Scott.
No worries. No pressure at all. But guys, I have no idea what we're gonna talk about today, but I do know that we're probably gonna end up. I'm gonna probably turn put this on at some point, and which is my wolf hood, which is slowly becoming famous in Canada, which is not really famous at all, but almost. And yeah, man. Hopefully, we're gonna be talking about lead generation and. Honestly, we did not talk about what we were going to talk about whatsoever before this, so we're going to see what happens. But I'm going to give me a second here because I got to post this on my feed.
Last thing I need is some wireless headphones like you so I can look some real.
Dude, these are like, yeah, I just got these about, I don't know, a week ago. And they're like amazing. Like I gotta say, like I never really had. So I bought these, which was a dumb idea. And so I bought these, and they got this big. Like I don't understand this at all. I bought these, and then because I was gonna try to cheap out because these were like $200, and I was like, all right, maybe I don't need like the full meal deal. And I got them. Like this sucks. I gotta get the real deal. And this is a lesson in life, my friends listening. Don't cheap out.
No, that's true. For real. That's true. You don't cheap out with this stuff. That's why I went all fancy with this stuff, man. I needed to be good. I was doing it with my phone.
I gotta do this now. Like I don't have a choice but to like do exactly what you have set up here. Cause like,
yes,
this is badass, dude. This is
dude,
so bad.
And I can do it. Like there's like a switcher. I'll show you over here. Let me. Oh, I don't want to move the camera, but I can show you actually the switcher over there.
Oh man, that is so badass,
dude. I'm controlling everything.
That is so cool, man.
And yeah, it's pretty sweet. So like, eventually Corey G, who's definitely watching, is going to come over here because he lives in Long Beach, so he's like 30 minutes, and he's gonna run this stuff. But you could also have somebody switch virtually. What? There's a virtual switchboard. So like, if you have like one of your assistants doesn't live near you, or one of your team members, they can literally virtually switch on any place that has internet, which is insane. The world we live in is crazy.
That's just insane, man. That's just insane. Man, I say this is the best thing I've ever bought. This thing is the best thing I've ever. Oh shit, I'm watching myself. Hold on. That's not right. But this thing here is like, right now, if it works, that is. Look at that. Like,
that's amazing.
Gimbal to the max. And I don't know about you, but like when you're doing a lot of live streaming, I do a lot of live streaming from my phone. I you know, it's kind of like, I can't expect someone to watch me when it's just all over the place, you know? And so
right.
It's the best investment. And now I have like three or two of them, one for each hand. And you know, it's kind of, it's interesting. Which piece of California are you in? Which part?
Santa Monica, which is like west.
Right. Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah. So I'm gonna be there in February, and then I'm going the end of February, and then I gotta go to Utah for 3 or 4 days, and then I gotta come back because I think I'm gonna go to traffic and conversion. I wasn't going to, but someone asked me to speak at an event, and
you're gonna be there.
It's hard to say no to. And yeah, then I'm going to be there again. And I just rented this baller mansion just outside San Diego
for the mastermind
at the end of March. Yeah. Awesome. And, it's pretty insane. It got its own private golf course. Like it's all little...
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Oh yeah. Like, I was just like,
oh my gosh.
So anyways, how are we doing on the countdown here?
We're at like 4 minutes. We're pretty ahead of time. I think you're right. I think 10 minutes was a bit long.
That man is like, long. Anyone has, I'm gonna try to go into this now to see if I can like see comments.
You can, yeah. I would just recommend maybe muting that tab, but aside from that, you're fine. Because if not, you'll hear your own echo and it'll drive you insane. Only thing that's good about the 10 minutes is I had like Craig on here on Wednesday, and the whole thing, like Facebook just dropped our live feed, so I had to start a whole new one. And so we started right on time because I had 10 minutes. So
yeah, that's a smart piece. I mean, like that's the thing when it comes to, I mean, it's like any of that when you're doing a webinar or you're doing any of this type of stuff, right? It's kind of like, you know, I remember one of our biggest webinars ever, and I pushed the end webinar button by mistake.
Oh no.
Yeah, and it probably cost me, I don't know how much it cost. It definitely cost me a lot of money. Because of course, you know, someone's like, screw this. And I got the wolf hood here, though.
Dude, what's up with the wolf hood? I need to know.
Man, it's just you go. I tell you, man, you go outside with this on. All right, you go outside with this on. You feel like a boss, okay? You feel like a boss. Like, how can you just not like? And it does up too, so it's like this, and it comes down. And
anyways, it's always a good reason to have it.
I go to the bank the other day. And. With this on, and I'm like, I'm going in there. I'm like, and I'm going in like this. I'm like, I hope they don't think I'm like going to try to rob a bank, right? Because you know, math. And but anyways, man, I don't know. Like, it's a great pattern interrupt, especially for Facebook ads. Because like, what the heck is this?
It is a pattern interrupt.
It's warm. I mean, it's warm. I'm up in Toronto. Like, I gotta like, you know, I'll die if I don't, you know, put something warm on. So.
Hey, yeah, I mean, you don't need a good reason. I like it. I was just wondering if there was a story behind it.
I want to get sponsored by these guys. That's my, like, goal next month is to get sponsored.
You want to be sponsored by the wolf people?
Yeah, exactly.
What company is that?
Spirit Hood. SpiritHoods.com.
SpiritHoods.com.
I'm going to send in this video afterwards and be like, guys, I'm plugging you. Like,
guys, free promo. You know how many people are going to buy it? We're going to pin the comment afterwards. Yeah. Awesome, dude. Amazing. All right, we got like 2 minutes. Hey, you wanna? I got a pretty professional surprise for you here in 1:30. I'm gonna show you in a second.
Oh, really?
About to have your mind blown. Every person who's seen it, just like pure shock. It's something I didn't even think about. I was like, oh, we just need this for the live show, and so it's.
I love it. Are you gonna send this link out to my daily email list, and be like, we're live. Come hang out.
You gonna send it right now?
Yeah, man.
You're like, hey guys, real quick, I'm over
here.
Yeah,
basically. That's basically like my, there's no grammar, there's no nothing. I just like, it's just like my place to like just chill out.
Your daily emails.
First name, we're going live and having some fun. Here's the link.
I actually went to.
I love my daily email because like I just, it like, you know, proofing. We got a regular email list, you gotta get proof. Yeah, like, you know, all that type of stuff. This is just like, boom, send. Awesome.
Yeah, I like the daily email. I actually went to Ryan Lee's one email workshop.
Oh, and, did you really?
Yeah. So if you bought the videos and stuff, I'm like,
you were there.
That's like the one day I'm not wearing the hat. I'm like right up front. I look like.
Yeah, I'm doing, man. I bought the program. I haven't watched. I mean, it's, you know,
it's a lot.
I mean, I just started doing a daily email and running Facebook ads, and we're getting like $2 leads a day. So
awesome.
I'll do that. And I don't know, man. Like, it's so enjoyable to send an email and you get like 120 responses. It's just like, it's just cool. Like, enjoy it. Anyways,
I guess we're going live. Ready? You ready for this?
All right, let's do it. Where's this to? Hold on. Shit. Where's it to? Oh my God, you have a look. What?
Welcome to AJTV episode 4. Today's a bonus episode with the man, the myth, the wolf, Mr. Scott Olford. What is going on, Scott? Oops, I'm doing my own intro again because I got a big ego. All right, what's up, Scott?
It's amazing, dude. This is so cool. Like, I'm like, this is so cool. I'm so excited for what this can bring, just like everybody.
This, what do you think, cool. It could bring? I wanna let's hear some,
I don't
thoughts.
Know, man.
Here.
Like think about, okay, so I was on the phone with someone selling our elite program yesterday to someone, all
right?
Which is lead generation. And she did like $350,000. So she's over in Denmark. She did like €350,000. No automations, barely got an email list. €350,000. She just gets on a daily live stream and just chats. And I'm just like, you gotta be an idiot not to be able to have a six-figure business nowadays. Like you can't have anything in between your ears. And so anyways, and like, you know, not that much business experience. I'm just like, what do you sell? And she's like, yeah, you know, I put together some programs on the weekends, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, this is amazing. And like, you know, like countless people I've met this year have been able to use Facebook Live to, like, you know, get $300,000-$600,000 businesses. And it's pretty crazy, man.
Yeah, there's a girl, and I don't know her personally. Her name's Danette May, and she basically she's in fitness niche, and she just runs Facebook Live to another live video to her sales copy. And that's like all she's using for her.
Well, I was talking about this before. You know, since Monday, we did $40,000 on this one Facebook Live that I put together on like Monday. And it's been seen like 8,500 times, which is like not that big. But this was the amazing thing. I didn't even think about pitching until I was at the end of the video. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I gotta pitch something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, listen, you know, you need the lead craft. You need our lead generation program. Yeah, just DM me and we can chat. We can figure something out. And I just got a ton of them. And, you know, I've spent less than $150 on Facebook ads for it. And boom, 8,500 people have watched it over 10 seconds. And I mean, it's good content and everything else, but like, what else other in history could you do that?
I know it's crazy. We live in crazy times all the time right now, where you live in a world where kind of any business, like you could just start a six-figure business anytime you wanted, like at all, like, and you could have no experience. You have lots of experience and that's it. I mean, if you want it enough and you have enough tools and you're willing to learn and you're humble enough to learn, like no reason why anybody can't do it. Hey, for my audience's sake, can you qualify yourself really quick? Because this might just be some good-looking schmuck from Canada, for all they know.
No, for sure. Well, guys, I've been an entrepreneur since I was like 7 years old, and I was like pretty young. I grew up on an acreage in eastern Canada, and so I was like in this little tiny village with like 13 people. And I'm an entrepreneur probably because I got bored. And I didn't have any friends. And so, you know, instead I like made hens my friends and, you know, start selling their eggs. And this kind of like just kind of like, you know, spiraled out of control. And I was just like some like fat, like, you know, teenager, having these programmers all around the world, you know, work on this stuff. And I used to just kind of be in this in between, but by the time I was like 16 years old, I was doing pretty insane amounts of, you know, revenue for being, you know, 16 years old. And by the time I was like, you know, 18, 19, things were going really, really well. And of course, you know, one of something really cool happened then. I actually got $726,000 in debt, which is, you know, kind of, you know, a pretty that's a big achievement. Like that's definitely, a big achievement for me, you know what I mean? Like big, to be able to get $726,000 in debt, like that's not easy.
How did that even happen? Because
So a couple. I mean, like, you don't just wake up one morning, you're $726,000 in debt. Let's start off. Number one, I was like an egotistical maniac. You know, being 16, everybody like, you know, praised me on the ground I stood on. You know, could do no wrong. I, you know, had a golden goose up my ass. And so that's number one. I was like naive. I didn't focus. And so, of course, I'm generating a lot of revenue, but of course, now I'm splitting the things I'm kind of doing, right? Which is like, in my opinion, until you get financially secure, and financially secure is like $5 million in my bank account, like cash, money, liquid cash. Until that happens, you need to focus on like one thing. And people are always talking about like, you know, you need to, you know, do all these different types of things, and you need to focus. And I didn't focus. And so I had three failures in a row. Those three failures killed all my cash flow, started taking on debt. And of course, in the back of your mind, it's kind of like going to a casino and you go with like $2 million and you're like, you're trying to get your $2 million back. So you start like, you know, being like, you're just kind of betting against yourself. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so then I sold, more so kind of like took an insurance policy of merging my company so I didn't have to go into bankruptcy. Fell into like this huge depression. And that was about, that was June, at the end of June 2013. I was like, screw this. I hate my life right now. I need to change something. So it was like 3 years ago and a bit. And started like at zero and basically built what is today. And we did just under $3 million of revenue last year, up from $500,000 in 2015. And I built that on selling everything I owned and generating about $13,000. And $13,000 line of credit that was my girlfriend's. We're still together. Probably wouldn't have been still together if it didn't go so well. But yeah, man. And that was like basically my seed capital was like debt and like selling my shit. And you know what I do today is help business owners, entrepreneurs that are almost at six figures or six figures scale to seven figures using really intelligent and adaptive online lead generation. It allows us to be relevant to our perfect customer.
Awesome.
So, dude. In a really big nutshell, that's basically the nutshell.
That's a perfect nutshell. It's super qualified. I trust you now. I believe you. Where do I sign up? So let's talk a little bit about SSF. Again, for the sake of my audience, I'm familiar with slow lane, fast lane, sidewalkers, the whole thing. But I think it would just be, you know, most of the people who watch me are like, starting in online, or they're like fit pros, a lot of fit personal trainers, people like that. So what is it exactly, and what do you think they could, how could they maybe potentially implement it? I guess very loosely. I mean, you don't want to spend 2 hours here coaching. So
the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to drop a little link here if anybody wants to go take a look at this, because this is like the, yeah, there you go. So essentially it's the SSF method. I put a link there, ssfmethod.com.
Cool.
But here's essentially the premise. All right. Here's essentially the premise. So up to this point, online marketing really has been like, you know, try to drive as many people to one marketing funnel and give everyone the same experience. And I'm just saying, hey, listen, that's kind of like in from an overall perspective, do we really want to give everyone the same, you know, the same experience? You know what I mean? Like if you just met a girl at the gym, would you go out and be like, hey, you know, you want to go to the bedroom? Or would you like, you know, first have a conversation and then maybe go for a date and see what happens. Right. And yeah. So from that perspective, what happens, the problem inside of online marketing that I see a lot of the time, and of course I saw this problem because I used to do agency work for people. They would use the old traditional online type of marketing, And I didn't have much of a budget, and I had to try and figure out how to work this for myself for my own advantage, right? And it worked, and then I was like, shit, man, like everybody needs to do this. So the problem is that the cost of online marketing and getting people's attention is going up steadily, right? The more and more people that me and you, AJ, get on using this online marketing, the more expensive it becomes. That's a fact, right? It's a fact. There's a limited supply of the ability to gather attention. Yes. And so my methodology says in the sidewalk, in the slow lane, the fast lane, we need to treat the three different types of leads that come in contact with you differently, right? And if we don't do that, we chance that we're not going to be able to be relevant to them, all right? And if we aren't relevant to someone, they ain't buying our shit, all right? They ain't buying our shit, right? And right. So everybody's going for the fast laners, the people that are ready to go right away. Now, the SSF method was derived from MJ DeMarco's The Millionaire Fastlane, which, by the way, if you have not bought that, that book changed my life. That's the reason why I was like, screw you, bullshit job, 13 months of like literally wasting my life away. And so I ended up framing it on the fact that in the sidewalk, somebody has no awareness that they have a problem, right? Nobody has an awareness that they have a problem, right? They didn't wake up and was like, I'm a fat ass, I need to change. Right? It wasn't that person. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, so our job in the sidewalk is to get that person to a point of seeing that there is a pain in their life that is relevant to them now that wasn't relevant beforehand. The second piece is in the slow lane. Now we're giving them the knowledge, the process, the mechanism, the method to be able to allow them to understand how to fix that pain. And we buy essentially by giving this to them, we become the authority, right? We become the authority. Every time we produce something and we teach someone or we show someone something, we become the authority because we look up to those in which we learn from.
Right.
Then comes the fast lane, which is here's the solution. Here's the price. What's your objections? How do we get you to buy this? Because you know you need to do it, right? And people, of course, they love to stay in between the slow lane and the fast lane for, you know, God knows how long. Which of course, you know, comes down to the fact of, hey, do you want to keep your life as it currently is, or do you want a new life and a new reality, right? And so our marketing funnel essentially allows you to have three marketing funnels that adapt and give the person the right message at the right time. So yes, there's double the amount of work, but you get 10 times the results because you're able to be relevant to the exact person at the right time, at the right place. And that's game changing. It reduces the cost of your conversions, increases the number of people that actually turn into a customer. And when you're actually relevant to someone, they're like, shit, man, I got to follow this person. Shit, man, I got to buy this person's stuff. Oh my God, I can't go on without this.
Right. So that's awesome. It makes a lot of sense to me. I think that's why I like talking to you. Every time I talk to you, I learn something and I'm like reminded of what I should or shouldn't be doing. But what is the danger? Because I see this a lot too. People get really obsessed with, I think, what you would call a fast laner, getting just leads and sales today, and who gives a shit about 6 months from now? I mean, I think that there's a little bit of there's an obvious problem, but what are some of the dangers in terms of your business of what could happen if that's all you did? Like if you were just going in for the kill every single time?
So there's three things in life that I remember I had to shut my phone off because I couldn't afford it. I remember one time they cut off the electricity. Thank God it was in the winter. I had to go out in a snowbank back in Newfoundland and put all my food in the friggin' snowbank, right? And like, because I was literally that broke, which is just honestly thinking back to it, it's ridiculous. I don't even know why I was that broke. Anyways, so. Three things no one can take from you: relationships, your audience, and knowledge. And probably a fourth one. Right? They can take away all the cool shit. They can take away cars. I don't own a car. They take away house. I don't own a house. Everything I own less than $10,000 worth of shit. You know what I mean? I think my most costly worldly possession that I own is the iMac that I'm using right now. But from that perspective, if you do not build an audience, if you do not build a tribe, you are shorting yourself in a long-term business. Now, here's the other side of the spectrum. In business, if you do not play the long game, you're screwed, right? If you do not play the long game, you are screwing your potential ability in the future, in the compound effect, what we kind of talk about, the waterfall effect, because of course the sidewalker might turn into a fast laner really quickly, or it might take some time. Now, here's what I'm always looking for. I'm looking for a 4x ROI in the first month whenever I'm looking at an advertising campaign. But I'm looking in the next 6 months, I'm looking for 15 to 20x because it's possible. And I got too many guys that they're trying to put a dollar in and get $2 back. If you're all you're trying to do is put a dollar in and get $2 back, and you know, that's fine up front. But from a business perspective, you know, you consider all things considered, your profit margin is going to be like 5%. You know what I mean? You're probably going to need to make $2 million to be able to like make the same as the guy down the street that's at McDonald's.
Right.
Right. So I think it is critical to have an audience. It's critical, in my opinion, to be a so-called celebrity in your niche. It's critical to be that choice, not a choice. And totally. Lead generation allows you to get paid today, get paid tomorrow, and be an influence in your industry, which is going to allow you to impact far more people, which, let's be honest, is the reason majority of us are stupid enough and resilient enough to be an entrepreneur.
Well said, my man. I couldn't agree with you more. I love the whole idea. It's looking at an actual long-term business. I think a lot of people, it's just like you just said, they're worried about putting a dollar in, getting $2 back, looking at the gross numbers, which sounds sexy and wonderful, but then they have kind of no, like, people don't give a shit about them, right? They're not trustworthy.
Well, and I mean, I just want to talk, I mean, if you're not using online lead generation, you don't have you don't have a business, you're a hobbyist, right? So there's a bunch of people going around trying to be entrepreneurs that aren't entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, nobody goes ahead and thinks about the fact of how quickly you get the ROI back for online lead generation. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so I sell $2,000 and $12,000 programs all day long. We have $2,000 lead graph, $12,000 lead program. And people literally spend 6 months trying to make their mind up if they're going to use online lead generation. Okay. 6 months of their life. I don't know about you. I don't have that many years left. I'm 25, 50 years, maybe 25, maybe my mother had a heart attack at 37, my grandfather 39, my great grandfather 41. Okay. So I don't expect to live another 50 years. Everything I'm doing is on a 5-year-old spectrum. Okay. Now, majority of people sell stuff that are maybe $250,000, $500,000. You don't have to generate that many leads and generate that many sales to have an automatic lead generation system. And so many people are putting themselves so short. This is why I get so passionate about this shit, because you don't have to be broke. You don't have to be in this entrepreneurial poverty. And so many people are, and it pisses me off. And like, my purpose in life for the next 3 to 5 years is to help these guys that just, they can help themselves. They're smart Shake people. Them.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, what is going on? Why? I'm no smarter than anybody that buys anything I sell. And you know, it's frustrating because the answer is right there in front of them. And then, you know, they're looking for the secret. There's no secret. It's pretty damn simple. I mean, you know this. It's not like you know this.
It's a lot easier to like be afraid and do the same medium. I think it's easier for the average person to be afraid of jumping in, because they're like, well, if I do the same bullshit every day that I don't love, then I know what the result is, and it's not that right. Wonderful.
Well, it's a problem that people wake up and they're a victim.
Oh yeah.
People wake up and they're a victim. They're like, The everything's out to get me. And I guarantee you, like, at the end of the day, anytime I've had some bad things happen to me. I've had people sue me. I've had the government sue me. I've had some bad shit happen to me. Okay. You know, like, my emotional immune system is like, you know, I still suffer from like PTSD like symptoms. I don't use a credit card because of the fact, like, I don't use a credit card in a store because I'm too afraid that it gets declined. I can't answer my door because of the fact that it gives me, I've got served so many times. Okay. So, but in every single time that I was like, oh my God, it's like, dude, you don't get out alive. What's the worst that's going to happen? You know what I mean? Like, or jail, or like homeless. What's the worst going to happen if I'm homeless? You know what I mean? And people like create these stories and like create these excuses. And because of it, they're going to die living an unfulfilled life.
Oh my God, I love it. No, I agree. I talk to Dave Rogemoser about that all the time. One of the first conversations I ever had with Dave, who I know you know, you're friends with, and he said, he is like, I don't want to have a conversation with somebody about how expensive milk is. Like, that just sounds like the most worthless conversation in the world. It's like you said, victim mentality, and you're just like wasting time. Like, why don't you talk about the things you're excited about or the way you're gonna make it so that it doesn't matter if milk, what it even costs. Like, you don't even ever have to look at that again. And being an entrepreneur isn't for everybody, but then just don't be a victim and own your life and exactly what you
Yeah,
want
I
to
mean,
do.
like, I don't think, I mean, I think entrepreneurship is the shittiest job on earth. I think it's the shittiest job on earth. Like, I think being an entrepreneur, I think we are called to do something. I mean, I think entrepreneurs, people talk about being born. I don't think entrepreneurs are born. I think at the end of the day, entrepreneurship is something that almost is kind of thrust upon you, and it is kind of it's a scenario where nothing else will kind of work. Nothing else would work anyways, right? It's just like I'm jobless. Like I can't work for somebody. You know what I mean? Like if I work for someone, I'm gonna be in their business for 3 months. I'm gonna reverse engineer and make it 10 times better, and they're gonna sue me, right? And so, and because I'm gonna go start my own damn thing. And so, based on that, it like being an entrepreneur really does suck. Like I think there's this entire mechanism of the new rock star is the entrepreneur, right? It's like we are the only type of people that want to work from the beach. Okay, there's this whole like lifestyle entrepreneur bullshit, right? The 4 hours a week. We're willing to spend 80 hours for 20 years working so we can work 4 hours a week, right? So like the whole spectrum of this rock star status. I mean, if you're not an entrepreneur, don't try to like act to be an entrepreneur because I guarantee you. You're only trying to impress yourself, and you're going to be on a really lonely road. Because I love this one. This is by Les, one of motivational speakers. The top is really lonely, but you eat better, right? The top is the thing, entrepreneur, right? Being an entrepreneur is a lonely ass road,
It is, yeah.
and it's a scary place, but it's rewarding for those that, it's called upon.
Again, well said. 100% agree. I think it's I've thought about that as well when it comes to like something. It sucks to be an entrepreneur, and like it sounds like the sexy thing, right? I actually literally do live a block from the beach, but I'm not on the beach, and I almost never go there because I'm in here working. And
And besides
it's
that,
not
you can't work from the beach because let's be honest, a laptop and sand does not mix
the
together.
Wi-Fi is terrible out there. Yeah, exactly. And I can't get but like it's just like being in a, I talked to literally my wife and other entrepreneurs about this. I'm like, I wish I didn't want to create and do greater things. Like, I wish I could be happy.
I wish I was normal and I could just like,
I
do
wish I was
it.
normal.
I mean, I think it would be amazing to be in oblivion. In this place of complete bliss, where I don't question things, where I don't, be like, I want to make that better. I want to impact these people. I see something that just doesn't make sense, and I'm like, what the heck? I wish I didn't want to at 75 years old be in my deathbed and be like, you know what? I screwed some shit up when I was on planet Earth, and I disrupted some shit, and like this world will never be the same. And ideally Mars or whatever planet we're on by then. But yeah, man,
The ignorance.
I wish I was ignorant because it
It's
would be
it
a
really
beautiful place. I
it really is bliss.
I have a much better life, but would I be fulfilled? Would I be happy? Probably not.
No, yeah. And you know it, I think. I think you know when you want to do more, and you just it's like you said, it's called upon. You can't stop it. And I think yeah, there's a lot of those people who it's sexy to be an entrepreneur. They're like, I can post motivational memes all day and talk about how, you gotta hustle.
I love the Instagram entrepreneur, dude. I love the entrepreneur. It's like, gee, oh man, it's hilarious. It amazes me how many people want to like look like they have the lifestyle and like everything else, and it's like, dude, because I love it because you're like, oh, how much, how's your business doing? They're like 200,000 or 300,000, you know, last year, which, hey, listen, totally, that's totally fine. But you're like, so how the hell do you afford an Audi R8? Like let's just be honest here, because, like, you know, I'm doing multiple seven figures. I can't afford an Audi R8, and how are you getting an Audi R8? And it's just like, it's like entrepreneurship isn't just like a blank check to buy whatever you want. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah. 100%. I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, our business is like this big, but I'm like, look how many people work here. And we have to spend home this much on ad. I was literally, one of my jobs today, I was like writing down all the stuff. I'm like, this isn't as cool as I thought it would be, like, when I got here.
No, I mean, you know, every once in a while, you know, at the end of last year, I had a little bit of a crisis of like, what do I want to do? It's like, once you get the gun from your head, right? I mean, you know, I had a gun to my head for a few years. You're like, what do I actually want to do? You know, it's kind of like, What do I actually want to do?
Yeah.
And so, you know, at the end of the, you know, last year, it was like, you know, do I want to just like go on a beach, smoke weed and just chill out all day? Or do I want to build like a multi-million, you know, $100 million company? Do I want to build $1 billion company? You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? Like, at the end of the day, I, with the email list I have, the audience I have, I could go make seven figures with my hands tied behind my back, $1 million, no expenses, no nothing. I got friends mm-hmm. that do it, live great lives. But I know when I'm 75, I'm going to be like, what if? And so, you know, I believe in dying with as many regrets as possible. As many mistakes as possible. Because gotcha. I only get, as far as I know, I only get one chance, and I might as well use it.
Yeah, totally. I think it's like, for me, it's this feeling of just wanting to do my best. I don't know. I was super lazy growing up. So, like, I grew up real lazy, not wanting to do anything, playing Crash Bandicoot and watching TV when it was beautiful outside and all this stuff. And so, like, I almost feel like I'm trying to make up for being, like, a piece of, like, like,
lazy. But you gotta realize, the laziest people are the best entrepreneurs.
I mean, it has served me in some ways because of the minimalism, right? You find the one thing that you need to do instead of getting distracted and preparing.
But lazy people are great entrepreneurs because they delegate everything. Like, you know, it's kind of like being lazy is an art form when you're an entrepreneur, right? At the end of the day, you're like, you see that, you're like, I don't want to do that. Like, I'm lazy. I'll play some PlayStation, you know? It's like, fuck, or like, well, do I really need to do this? Like, what's going on? I want to play PlayStation, right? And so that is the mentality that gets you to optimize, automate, and delegate, which allows you to build an amazing business. And it also makes you, like, use automated lead generation, so you're not there like, I need to find clients. Shit, how do I do this? You know? So
totally, yeah.
Lazy's good. I think sometimes it sucks that I'm a workaholic, because I've always been a workaholic. You know what I mean? I've always just been like 90-hour weeks are like nothing to me, and I've been trying to like reverse that. So you're trying to work more. I'm trying to get lazy as shit.
I'm trying to balance myself out more. Yeah, I'm definitely trying to work as much as possible. I think, like, it's like what you said. I kind of had that moment, I don't know, like 4 or 5 months ago, where I'm like, okay, I got the gun. To use your example, I got the gun off my head. What do I want to do now? And so, like, for me, it's just like, what do I want to do now? So, like,
it's a scary moment, though. It's a really scary moment. It's so scary because, like, what? Because, you know, I get up 3:34 a.m. every single morning, right? I got up 3:34. Why do I get up? Why do I need to get up anymore if I got, you know, plenty of cash in the bank and things are going good? If everything's going well, why am I getting up in the morning? And that's kind of like at a point where I kind of like, and I think a lot of people have kind of lived their life and they're trying to find their purpose and everything else. And I think one thing that I found about purpose is that your purpose changes, right? Yes. Your purpose changes. And 100%. So, you know, at one point my purpose was to get the gun from my head. My purpose right now is to get as many entrepreneurs that are at that, you know, 80K plus, if you can make as many millionaires as possible, not because I care about them being successful. Okay. I don't care about them being successful. I care about the fact that our society is going to shit because entrepreneurs aren't playing at the level they're supposed to. And entrepreneurs allow us to have an incredible, incredible society, and they're not playing to the full advantage. And this planet is going to shit because of it. And I want to change that. That's my purpose for the next 3 to 4 years, which is why I'm building an e-learning company for entrepreneurs. That's why I'm so damn passionate now, because it's like, you know what? I'm good. Like, I can make money on a whim. Now I have to have that bigger purpose.
Right. And well, you're living now. Yeah, it's exactly what you said. You have to find that real purpose, and you're allowed to change your mind. You're allowed to change your mind as many times as you want
Dude,
to,
100%, totally off
you're not
topic.
gonna wake up.
This is a, look at this dude. Look at
Holy cow.
I use this all day long while I'm on calls. Anyway, sorry.
No, you
Back.
can, dude. Yeah, no, I just like finding that purpose. Like, it's just I think you know, I had that moment a couple months ago. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, I did this thing that was supposed to be impossible. What the hell do I do now? Like,
Right?
and bummed
Yeah,
me out a
yeah.
little bit.
Well, I mean, I think another thing too is like, you know, I don't know about you, but like people find me far more impressive than I think I am. Like, I don't think I'm impressive at all. I think I'm like just like, you know, it's kind of like you start also kind of like questioning and being like, man, why was this so easy? You know what I mean? Like, why was this? And then like, I think there's an also a thing like, you know, I always say this, there's only so many times. There's a lot of things I wish I had in my life. One of them would have been more mentors. I think another one of them would have been to learn from other people instead of trying to figure out all the shit myself. Because I'm bad at that. I'm not like, you know, I'm not the type of person to look at the manual before, you know, I do anything. Like this here, you have no idea how long this took me to figure out how to set this up because I didn't look at the manual. And so and but the back to this, I think once you make it, so-called make it in the eyes of the seven-figure bullshit, you know, thing that all the online coaches want you to do. Once you make it, you start to have that kind of internal like thing of like, okay, what's next? What's now? What, you know, what's the next big thing that I really kind of want to work on? Because now you're going up the, you know, hierarchy of needs, and it's no longer like, my God, I don't know how I'm going to pay for rent this month.
No, totally. Yeah, man. That's like the reason I keep hiring people to keep me motivated. That's part of what I want, though. But again, that's like a passion thing. I want my platform to be big enough that other people can launch their own platforms. That's how big it is. Like, that's my goal. Like, it's so big that you could say, yeah, I was part of this. And they're like, oh shit, okay, you can tell. And so like
I
my
love
and I want all my clients to just continue to destroy what they're doing, be able to outsource their life and kind of do whatever they want. Because I remember, like, I was a gym owner, right? So I felt trapped by my gym. You don't have to. And a lot of people think they have to. So giving them that freedom so that if they just want to have a gym, that's cool. But if they want to do other things, they can do that as well. And that motivation is a lot easier for me to wake up at 3:30 versus, you know what? I want to get three more sales today. Like, that, who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly, man. And I think it's so important to find that, but it's also important not to push that too much. Because
Right.
sometimes you can also get in your head and you can think you have a passion that you don't particularly, or a purpose that you don't particularly like. For example, I know my purpose in life, like I know my destiny in life, is to be able to help. And this is going to sound really, really out there, okay? But my purpose in life is to help us as Homo sapiens evolve. Because, of course, we have AI and all these things that are going to interconnect in the next 25 years. In order to do that, though, my purpose can't be that today because I don't got the capital. I don't got the resources. I don't got the influence. So, the next 3 to 5 years, I'm going to focus on what I can do so that I can get there and that I can get to the reason that. You know, out of 400 million sperms, my little dude was just like, yeah, let's do this.
There's a reason you got there first,
Yeah,
right?
dude. Yeah, exactly, dude.
And
Yeah. So, but I think it's important to like look out a little bit, but then I think it's also important. And then, you know, I think it comes down to if you're living that purpose, it's really easy to be happy because you don't have to try to be happy anymore.
Totally.
Right. And I think I see so many people like, you know, oh, I'm not happy. I'm not whatever. It's like, dude, you know, you don't have to try to be happy. Find your purpose. The happiness just comes as soon as that moment where you're like, yeah, you know what? This is what my life is for.
Yeah.
And actually, Stephen Kotler, which is brilliant. If you don't know Stephen Kotler's work, it's amazing. But he had an article in Entrepreneur Inc. a while ago. Jason Silva actually, you know, put me kind of to it, and it was about, you know, it was talking about the intersection of, I can't remember the three things, but it was the intersection of three things. Is typically your purpose, the intersection of three particular pieces. And if you put all of them together, I don't know where that article's to, but it was an amazing, amazing, amazing piece by Stephen Kotler. which if you haven't read The Rise of Superman, make sure you read that. And he got a new book coming out next month that I'm helping promote, which is about how to utilize the state of flow, which I'm like geeking out, like no idea how much I'm geeking out into like biohacking and all that type of stuff right now. Like that's my like hidden little passion.
Your biohacking stuff, like the bulletproof coffee stuff.
Like yeah, right, like into that realm,
I mean, I only mention it because I live like a block.
Maybe a little deeper.
All tied to biohacking.
Yeah, you got it, man.
Sweet dude. Yeah, I was just mentioning that because I thought, wasn't it you who was drinking bulletproof coffee the other day, or was it?
I just started.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure I was not confusing you with another Scott.
I do it all the time, dude.
Totally sweet, man. All right, let's see. If you guys have any questions, people watching, please post them in the comments, and we'll do our best to answer them.
Is there still people watching this? Because
I don't know. I checked right now. There's a few people watching. So, cool, man. What would be your piece of advice, I guess, with like, what if you're a brick and mortar type of business owner and you want to, like, does the online marketing work as well like that? Like, does the online marketing work as well for a brick and mortar as it does for like courses and coaching and things like that?
Oh yeah, 100%, man. If not better, because you can go local, right? Yeah. Like I always talk about how do you like, I always want to play in a, like a lot of people, I think there's a couple of things. Jesus, I had like four different thoughts all came together just then. I'm always trying to be relevant. Number one, I'm trying to be relevant, right? And number two, I'm trying to be omnipresent. You log on to Facebook, I'm there, bro. Yeah, like you log on to Facebook, I spend more money on retargeting than I do on lead generation. Okay, mm-hmm. I spend more money on you know, our marketing budget this year is somewhere between 1.6 and 1.8 million. All right, I'm spending money getting your attention, because your attention means a lot to me. Because if I get your attention and I can if I can keep that attention, I can turn that into impact in your business, and I can get you to buy my stuff so that you get further on into whatever it is you're doing. So when it comes to brick and mortar, man, it's really easy to be omnipresent when your group of people is only around this little tiny area. You know what I mean? We're advertising in South Africa, Dubai, we're in, you know, Australia, I mean, Europe, I mean, Denmark, everywhere, okay? Like, I'm advertising worldwide right now, right? And, you know, I'm trying to be the big fish in a really damn big-ass ocean, right? And it's a lot easier when you got a small pond and you can create yourself into being a big fish. It's cheap, man. And listen, it's only getting more expensive. Right? It's only getting more expensive. I mean, between the beginning of 2016 and the middle of 2016, we went from 3 million advertisers to 4 million on Facebook because of brilliant people like me and you making that happen. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And I know you guys are like getting featured by Facebook. You guys have been killing it. Right. It's going to, and here's the thing, and here's the dealio. The longer you wait, the more money you lose and the less potential you have. Because the more relationships, you know, people are always like, oh, well, I don't want to pay $10 for a lead. I'm like, okay, no problem. Now, let me just ask you this. Would you pay $10 in real life? If you could meet with somebody, okay, in real life, would you pay $10 to create that meeting? They're like, yeah. I'm like, okay. So now all the difference is you get to do that at scale all day long, and you don't have to show up to any of these bullshit meetings.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, let's get the checkbook out and let's get it started.
No, for real though, it's just, it doesn't make sense. Like, people have no problem spending on all these old school like marketing methods that are wildly expensive, that are very hard to measure, like, and that you don't know about, but the online, and I hate it because it makes me sound like a guru.
We've been doing a promotion around our Leap Craft Elite program, okay, which is 12 grand, all right? So just to give you a context, I was talking with a realtor the other day. And you know, this program, we come in, I help you plan. I mean, I'm literally giving this damn thing away. I help you plan the strategy. My team has 10 hours. They'll literally get on Zoom, design your Facebook ads with you. Get on Zoom, write your copy for your landing pages with you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm literally giving it away. Now, awesome. I get on the phone with this realtor. He's doing pretty well, doing like $400,000 or $500,000. I'm like, where are you spending your advertising dollars? He's like, well, you know, I do a little bit on radio. And I'm just like, holy crap. And he's like, you know, I'm doing some on, you know, this magazine, that magazine. And he's like, yeah, we did some Google advertising. But, you know, we want to get into Facebook advertising. All right. Now keep in mind, this is, you know, if this guy was only doing 75,000, barely like breaking even, you know, everything else. And listen, I respect the person under 100 grand that can't afford online lead generation because of their mindset block. Like, I respect their decision. All right. I don't agree with it, but I respect it. And anyways, this guy, you know, I tell him the price, everything else. He's like, man, that's a lot of money. I'm just like, well, how much did you spend on the radio campaign? He's like, around 10 grand. I'm just like, are you serious? So you get one time attention and you're going to pay 10 grand for it. You have an entire lead generation system you can use for the next 24 months without changing it. And you're just like, nah, that's too expensive. Like, I don't understand it. Like, I really don't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. I had that with a personal trainer today who was like, well, I used to spend 25 bucks. Then they had been using Facebook, right? So they used to say, I used to spend 25 bucks on Facebook and get like 20 leads. I'm like, that's amazing. When was that? Oh, like 4 years ago. I'm like, okay, how many leads do you get now? And they're like, 2. I'm like, and what's your program cost? $5,000. And I'm like, are you insane? You have a five. That means for $10.
That even gets me more pissed off. Okay, that even.
I don't mean to piss you off, Scott.
I was talking to another person. Like, I'm like, how much is your program? $15,000. I'm like, okay. In my mind, I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, this is gonna be the easiest sale of my life. I don't understand these people's logic, right? I don't understand these people's logic, right? And so, and I'm sounding like this is a really hard sell, but at the end of the day, you know, majority of people I get on the phone with to sell this, we end up closing because it's pre-qualified. But some of these guys are just stubborn. But I'm like, dude, you know, your first sale, you just paid for the entire thing. Everything after that's just free. Like, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was talking to one of the people I work with one-on-one. This one's insane. All right, this one's insane.
I'm ready.
This is insane. Right? This is insanity. He is getting leads to book a call with him for a $15,000 program for $4. All right, for $4. Okay.
Where's that business?
Yeah, and yeah, man. And I'm just like,
that's awesome. I'm just like,
this is amazing. This is amazing. Yeah. So I'm looking at this one guy killing it, gonna have a $2-3 million a year, almost the exact same business model as this other guy, but the other guy's just like, I'm afraid. And it's like, man, you know, and I think it's the fact that you need to rewrite your dictionary, your mindset to be, I will do X until I get X. You know, yeah. I know this works. Do I know the exact methodology? No. Do I know every single step? No. But I'm going to go figure it out.
They're still viewing money as something that's taken from them instead of invested in. And that's just, it's just wild. Like, anytime you spend any money, you should just be looking at what are you going to get out of it? Not, oh no, that money's gone. How is that money going to come back? And it doesn't matter what you're, I mean, every little thing in your life is like
money on dumb shit all day long.
All day. Coffee and fuck, like just all this dumb stuff, right?
I'll see, you know, this is a, I don't see this much anymore because I don't really do a whole lot of phone sales stuff. But back when I was starting out, I used to do all the phone sales stuff. And, you know, of course, they'd add me on Facebook, the whole nine yards. And they'd be there. Yeah. Okay. I remember one. This is an amazing one. They couldn't afford a $2,000 program. 2 weeks later, I see them going first class to Hawaii. Right? Yeah. I'm on the phone with him like 3-4 weeks later. He's like, yeah, man, I'm just so broke. I'm just like, bro.
You just went to Hawaii.
What the heck? Did you take a vacation on Someday Isle? Like, what the heck is going on, man? Like, you know, are you ever gonna do this? Like, you ever gonna you ever gonna not be broke? Anyways, I don't want to turn this into a bitch fest, but
no, I know, I feel you. I mean,
anybody listen to this, like, get off your ass and invest and make shit happen, man.
Yeah, totally. Hey, Rogan Moser says what's up. He's watching here. So,
what's up, brother?
All right, dude, are you cool to answer some questions here? Some people threw some in here. Like, let's rapid fire quick. I want to respect your time. All right. How do you scale omnipresence is a question by Aaron Nickel.
What's up, brother? Aaron, I think Aaron's in our Leadcraft program. And I think he's in the fitness world too. So it would make sense that he knows you and, you know, so on and so forth. So how do you scale omnipresent? As you got to realize that for every 1,000 people that you're going out to, it doesn't cost very much money. Yeah, it doesn't cost very much money. Like, we're only omnipresent to about 50,000 people. You know what I mean? Like, if that, we're really, really omnipresent to about 21,000, Like 21,000 is like our go to.
Okay.
And we're gonna do like 7 to 10 million. I ain't advertising to like hundreds of thousands of people on a daily basis for that, for being omnipresent too. You know what I mean? Like that doesn't make any sense to me. So as your business scales, it's just like another, you know, it's another expense. Like I spend more money a day on advertising right now than I did last year this time. I spend more money a day now than I used to in a month back then. Right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't, you know, I don't even give a shit anymore. Right? I don't even give a shit anymore because I know the ROI is there, both short term and long term. Right. Being omnipresent does not bring instant ROI. It does not bring instant ROI.
It's long game.
But it brings it's a long term game. Right? Yeah. It's a long term game. But man, it's so cheap. You know what I mean? You can for $5 to $10, you can be omnipresent to an audience of 1,000 people. It depends on what niche you're in and that type of thing. But it just scales with your business.
Yeah. Okay. I think I hope that's a good answer for you. I think it's a great answer. All right. I got one here for Matt Brandt. He's asking, do you still recommend those three types of funnels, fast lane, slow lane, sidewalk, even if you have a brick and mortar? Like, does that work for brick and mortar?
100%, man. It doesn't matter if it's a brick and mortar. You know, we got Fit Pros using that with their physical gyms. You know, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. I mean, like, honestly, I've yet to see, unless you're selling something for like $500,000 where there's like a 2-year proposal process. Okay. That's the only time I've seen the SSF method not work. Right. Okay. Is when you're like, you're asking for $500,000 because it's a totally different scenario and you should probably be hiring me one-on-one if that's the cost of your product. So from that perspective, offline, online, I'll say the effectiveness for e-commerce, if you're selling something below $50, you kind of got to work it out. You got to change the mechanism a little bit. But as long as you're selling something, or as long as your lifetime value is above a couple $100, you're in a great place.
Awesome, dude. I got a question here from Betsy. I think I'll answer it and then you can answer it. And I don't know if it's something you know about as much, but she was asking, how would you transition, like, for instance, as an example, because Fit Pros follow me a lot, an in-person training business to an online training business? I think fitness is something that can definitely be purchased online. I think there's a million apps that would tell you otherwise. I think a lot of the times when we have a hard time selling personal training programs online, it's our own mental blocks thinking, well, they're paying for a session, when really we need to be shifting to they're paying for a result. There's no reason why a person you meet today for fitness, any sort of fitness programming, couldn't be sold an online program even though they meet you in person. I have clients in my mastermind who do this all day. They meet with a person, or they'll meet them over the phone, and they sell them an online program because people don't care about the deliverable, they care about the result. If I hire Scott and Scott's like, hey, I'm gonna help you grow your business to 8 figures, I don't care if it takes a 1 5-minute call or if I have to talk to them all day for hours and hours. I would prefer the latter, but it doesn't matter.
I think people get so good. I think it's normal. It's a normal. It's human psychology to look at. You know, because we're taught in school this, like a lot of other bullshit we get taught in school, where it's like, oh, I get all this shit for this amount of money. Where it's like, no, you need a result. You know what I mean? Like the result is what matters. Like everything else is bullshit. Right. And I mean, you know, I was talking to a guy the other day. He's a fitness type of guy, and you know, he was charging, in my opinion, way too little. You know, he was going after the entrepreneur market. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he told me how much he costs, because you know, he wasn't trying to pitch me or anything. And I was just like, dude, nobody in my, you know, nobody that got a business at 7 figures going to take you seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because what you got to do, in my opinion, especially I think in every situation, AJ, you might I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, but anytime someone's investing something, you gotta make it hurt a little bit, especially if it's changing their beliefs and who they are, right? And so, you know, I charge $120,000 to work with me one-on-one. Okay, now anybody I work with is in the 7-figure bracket, or they're there pretty damn soon, or they have another business that is doing 7 figures and they want to start a new one. Now, $120,000 is not a lot of money to them, but it hurts enough that they take it serious.
Yeah.
And anytime that you're trying to change someone's scenario drastically, you must, even if it's not technically worth that, or none of your competitors do that, they're not going to take it seriously. And I was like, dude, you know what? I'll pay you your $1,500 for your 12-week program. I don't give a shit about $1,500. You know what I mean? It's not the fact that I would go and burn the money in the toilet, but it got to hurt. You know, it got to hurt. Like, you know, I have a full-time, I got a guy that he does all my meals, and he comes here five times a week to train me. Just actually got trained just beforehand. It hurts a little bit, right? It hurts me. It hurts a little bit, but it hurts enough so that it's in my calendar. It hurts enough that I eat the food. It hurts enough that I'm not, you know, out, you know, eating steaks, because I'm like, oh, well, I bought that food. I paid for that food, right? Mm-hmm. So on and so forth. And I think we must, as entrepreneurs, do that, because we get judged by our results, not with what we deliver.
Love it. No, 100% agree with you. That's something like we teach as one of our like foundational things to trainers, is you got to make it hurt. I just did a one day with Craig Ballantyne, and I did it specifically because of, it was a huge investment. It's actually the most I've ever paid for one-on-one coaching so far. And I will do that. I will continue to do that, because it's the only thing that's going to motivate me to actually do work. I'm like, I'm 997 course is not going to motivate me to do anything.
There's two big, I mean, you know, last year, like I said, we did $500,000 in 2015, right? And then going from $500,000 to $3 million is a big jump.
Right.
And so, you know, one of the big instrumental things, you know, I remember the most money I ever spent on anything ever, like in recent history, I should say, not ever, was, you know, hiring a business coach per se, for pretty much all of last year. And it was a lot of money that I did not have. Mm-hmm. I remember when I paid that bill in February, I literally only had $11,000 left in my bank account at the end of it, because I paid it up front.
Yeah.
And I also remember like freaking out, because February was also our worst month of all of last year. And what happened? It worked in May, and it also kind of makes you produce as well. But in May, we hit six figures every single month, and we haven't had under a six month all of 2016.
Six figure month.
And and now a six figure, like anything that's like now double six figures on a monthly basis is like, what the fuck, you know, what the fuck is going on, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's a totally different spectrum, but you had to have some of the particularities pushing you there. And I think a good way to do that is a finance thing. I think sometimes, even if you just literally gave your friend $100,000 and was like, keep me accountable or I won't get this money back. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that would be, I just took a course, and the course is $3,000, but I also got to put $3,000 on this website called Stick. Mm-hmm. It's called STICKK.com. Okay. And I have an accountability partner. And if I don't do my homework and I don't show up to every single session, he gets a button that he can push to give, donate that $3,000 to charity.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. I love that. Yeah. That's so awesome.
Yeah, I know.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
Of course, I'm like, so you're telling me it's not just $3,000. I got to take $3,000 and I also got to put $3,000 there. And it's like, Well, you know, at the end of the day, Scott, I know you're probably not going to do this course. If not, and I'm like, ugh.
That's so good. And it's got to be a charity you don't like also.
No. Yeah, exactly, right? Exactly.
Something you think is that. All right. Sweet, man. Let's kind of roll here. Let me see. I always ask everybody, what's your favorite superhero and why? What's your favorite superhero and why?
Superhero.
Do you not like superheroes?
I would go with Iron Man. Just because
Iron Man. That's the first time I've gotten that. Why Iron Man?
Yeah, because he just got cool technology and is a cool dude. And he's kind of like Elon Muskish. Elon Musk is a pretty badass dude that I aspire to have certain traits of him. I think, you know, me talking about the whole evolving the human species and us as Homo sapiens. Well, Iron Man is that in many ways. You know what I mean? So, definitely Iron Man.
Awesome, man. All right. I appreciate your time. If somebody wants to find your stuff, read your things, join your programs, follow you? What's the best way to get in contact with you, brother?
Well, we got the 7-day challenge link that's somewhere around.
I'll get
here.
That up. There it is, right there. Yeah. It's right below
you.
Yeah,
so outside of that, you know, you'll go into that. It's some really good content. It's like 6-7 hours of amazing content, and then you're gonna get the offer for Leadcraft, which is about $2,000. Just so that you know. And so I mean, you know, outside of that, I'm a pretty easy guy to find. You know, just type Scott Olford somewhere on your computer. It doesn't matter where. You know, you even create a folder called Scott Olford. I'm sure I'll appear there. All joking aside, if you want to learn how to implement this, take the 7-day challenge. If you want to implement it with our help in a group setting, take a look at Leadcraft. If you want Leadcraft, message me. Brett, how to make that happen for you.
Awesome. And if you want to experience his 3-lane system, just like one thing of Scott Olford's, and you will see him for the rest of your life. Like, he is just going to be everywhere.
Until either I die or you die.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Maybe not even if I die. We'll see what happens.
I see him all day, and then I want to talk to him, so that's kind of what I do. Thanks a lot, dude. I'm going to jump off. I'm going to pull you off here. Cut your audio. Say bye to Scott World. All right. This has been AJTV, the worst named show on the internet. That was Scott Olford. You could find him by just Googling Scott Olford, like an old Ford, like a car that's old. All right. Thank you guys so much for watching. If you want to buy his stuff, they're in the links. I'm not buying anything. I just want to give to the world, because this is one of those give to the world things. Thanks for watching. If you like it, hit some likes, hit some shares, comments, tell your friends, tell your mom.